is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. We're very happy to have as our guest today a Republican congressman from the state of Illinois, Representative Edward J. Derwinski from Chicago. Mr. Derwinski is a former member of the Illinois State General Assembly. He's very active in Chicago civic affairs and has been honored by Chicago's JCs as one of the 10 outstanding young men of the Chicago area, now serving his first term in Congress. Mr. Derwinski, we're very happy to have you with us today, sir.
Very happy to be with you, Dick.
What do you hear from your constituents and from the public at large about the main concern of the American people today?
In my opinion, the main concern of the average American citizen is the ever-increasing tax burden that he realizes he must continually bear.
Now, what do you feel would be the best program for effecting systematic tax relief or tax reductions?
Well, I think, to be realistic, I should first preface my remarks by pointing out that in an election year there is a tendency to make wild promises for tax reduction. But actually, a sound policy for tax reduction is something that will take time. And in my opinion, the basic feature that it must contain is a return of powers, both administrative and tax powers, from the federal government to state and local governmental units.
Well, in other words, you feel that at the present time there are a lot of programs that the federal government is undertaking that could be better done by state and local governments.
Yes. I think that, basically speaking, we need a decentralization of government, and especially in those matters where local interests, state and then local communities, could much more effectively administer a program than the far-off federal bureaucracy.
Now, this sounds like a concept that we in the South have known for many years as states' rights. Are you a believer in states' rights?
Yes, I think I would very definitely say that I'm a firm advocate of states' rights. And I'd like to reemphasize that I think this is essential when we're speaking of possible savings of tax dollars for citizens all over the country.
Do you think that this trend towards an increasing federal taxation and federal support of various programs has sort of got the average citizen a bit confused about how much taxes he's actually paying, hidden taxes in one thing and another?
Yes, because frankly, even the direct federal taxes, in effect, become hidden. The classic example, obviously, is the withholding tax, in which the federal income tax, as it's withheld weekly from a person's salary, really becomes an indirect tax which he doesn't feel leaving him. And it's only at the end of the year, when the person files his income tax return, does he really understand the true burden that he has borne as an individual. And then we take our various excise taxes and those things which certainly are hidden and so very indirect that the citizen isn't too conscious of the tremendous tax burden that he bears at the federal level.
By contrast, most of our states are raising their revenue by, for example, sales taxes, which are very definitely added on at the time a person makes a purchase. Then in local communities, we get bills for property taxes that are very noticeable when they come in.
That's correct. You see, invariably, you will find at the time, say, a local property tax bill arrives, the citizens immediately respond with great indignation, charging that there must be a reduction in government spending, there must be a reduction in their tax load. But you see, as soon as the memory of this bill starts to fade away, why, their concern fades. And then they are at the same time paying this tremendous cost to federal government without really becoming alarmed about it.
Do you feel that these federal programs are actually more expensive in terms of individual benefits returned to the states than a state program would be?
Yes, I think that's a very correct statement, but I'd also like to point out that they're really tremendously costly to the individual. You see, I believe very firmly that government by its very nature is costly, and the larger a government unit becomes, the more inherent waste in money and efficiency develops. And then aside from the tax problem, there's one other very truism in politics I think we should accept as a fact, and that is that the larger, more powerful government becomes, the smaller in turn an individual becomes. So as government expands and expands both its power, its financial operations, its operations, the individuals in the country become smaller in comparison. And we find a very slow but a steady loss of rights just to this very huge operation of government.
Have you had any specific examples of this in your district?
Well, I think my district is typical of most across the country, and that first of all I have to reemphasize now that the federal government is so distant that the average citizen thinks of the money from Washington coming more or less free of charge, mm-hmm. whereas they're conscious of the local and state expenses. And I've often felt if we would have a very definite policy of returning specific functions to the states and then in turn to local communities, we would make people, first of all, conscious of the administration, conscious of the cost. And this idea of just free money pouring forth from Uncle Sam in Washington would be dispelled. Now, I think the classic example is the highway program, whereby the federal, whenever we have a federal-state participation in funds, we invariably find that the formulas force the states to spend money for programs they really do not need at times, mm-hmm. just in order to draw funds from the federal government. It's really forcing expenditures, and the end result is just a greater tax burden at all levels to all citizens.
Well, in other words, we see our state legislatures called upon to appropriate money for state participation in say, a so-called federal aid program on the argument that Washington has allocated the money to this state, and if we don't want to just throw it away, well, we have to appropriate some more money to go along with it.
That's correct. I could recall in the one term I served in the Illinois General Assembly, the explanation given to many of our appropriation measures was that this was necessary to draw X number of dollars from the federal government. And I distinctly recall when we had to increase our hunting and fishing fees in the state of Illinois in order to participate in the federal wildlife program. We had to raise certain funds in Illinois to in turn receive these federal funds, and to do so we had to triple our hunting and fishing fees.
Are there some specific examples of programs in which the federal government is now involved that you feel should be returned to state or local governmental units?
Yes. First of all, let me point out that traditionally, historically, our government was set up to function with the absolute possible state control and operations. I think the highway program is one. I think housing programs are another. They're definitely local participation is needed more and more, rather than the having some vast blueprint drawn in Washington to in turn force communities in metropolitan areas and states to conform to it. I also feel that in the basic welfare programs, the relief programs of various kinds, I think these things could be much better handled, much more sympathetically at a state and local level than they are at their present federal level.
And yet some advocates of big government are calling for establishment of even stricter federal standards to which all states must conform to participate in some of these programs.
I have often felt that the use of federal standards really forces many states to conform to sometimes even minimum standards that, if allowed to operate within the unique problems that they have as a state, they would solve, first of all, at a better level. And I think that the application of federal standards very often merely sets minimums under to which the state will conform, whereas if left to its own devices with its understanding of its problems, I think it could do a much better job.
Well, in other words, one important aspect of this matter is that too many of the people here in Washington who are making the master plans for these various programs do not fully understand the problems of individual local communities thousands of miles away.
That's correct. That's been especially so in your massive governmental program. But there's one interesting point I'd like to pick up from your last remark, and that is this. Just as you said that they don't understand the down-to-earth problems in the community, the other factor that's involved in this development of government spending is that the people who are the vigorous proponents of massive federal participation seldom have the political courage to point out to the taxpayers the cost that they're about to bear. They preach this all things to all people type of philosophy, where they literally try to buy special interest groups across the country, pointing out the benefits to them of a government program, without telling them at the same time that they're actually paying for it. You see, and the people who feel they're beneficiaries of a government spending program are not reminded that they also pay for it. So you never get something for nothing from government. But this is a fact that is too seldom mentioned in when people are proposing massive new spending projects.
Do you feel that the public is becoming at least a little bit more aware of the fact that there is no such thing as free federal money?
I think that the public is slowly reaching the point where they understand the true nature of their participation to the federal government. And may I add that I feel, if nothing else, in my service to the people of my district and to my country, if I could drive this idea home whenever I can, I think I'm performing a public service.
I'll certainly agree with you there. I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today, Mr. Dewinsky. Our time has gone by very quickly. Be looking forward to chatting with you again.
Thank you, Dick. It was a pleasure to participate in your program.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Representative Edward J. Dewinsky, a Republican from Chicago, Illinois. We'll be back again next week at the same time with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series, and we'd like to invite you to be with us then. Till then, Dick Morphew saying, thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.
Thank you.